Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. It's been a fun year so far, I think, for gold investors and silver bugs. There's no doubt about that.
Has gold peaked out, or does it still have lots of room to wiggle higher?
Well, we saw gold go above 1,400 last week, and it pulled back off that level, went up to 1,450. And silver, it's had a great run. It was under $26 in February, March, a level that has held it, was holding it down a year and a half, and now it's over $30. There's some people worried, that, the run might be over, but I don't think so at all. I see lots of confirmation that this is really the start of a new bull market that we've seen. And in bull markets, you get pauses. In fact, even if you look at the U.S. stock market since 2008, it's had times where it would go sideways for months, a year, and then trend higher. I don't think that's what's about to happen to gold, but, I think we're going sideways with gold, like we did in March for a very short period of time. It was in like a 100-point trading range. But for the signs of confirmation, I'd point to two. One is the performance of the mining stock in gold bull market. The mining stocks outperform gold, and in bear markets, they tend to underperform. They fall worse than the price of gold, and they're outperforming gold. Even with this recent dip from 2450 to like 2330 or so, the gold stocks have barely dipped at all. And you can see that in the GDX gold stock ETF, and it's been outperforming gold since early March, and so is the price of silver. Silver is outperforming gold, too, and that's also something that happens in a healthy metals market. So I think people shouldn't be too worried about big corrections or declines, and be more concerned that they're able to have a position and continue to hold it. And that's one thing, I'll just say, I have a position in gold, silver, other precious metals, mining stock, that when it's pulled back in the past week, it doesn't bother me because my position isn't so big that the pullback makes me worry or have trouble sleeping at night or something like that. And I would suggest that's what people need to do. Have a position that's right for them where they don't get concerned when there's just a little pullback.
Gold has gone retail at Walmart and Costco. Does that tell you anything about how people feel about gold now? Because Costco said it sold over $100 million worth of gold.
Well, that's one thing that's kind of interesting to me, or something that's going on, is physical gold is in demand. And that's one example of it. And stories are that in Asia, it's in even more demand. But it's physical gold. And the GLD ETF, which is the biggest gold ETF in the United States, it's had net outflows throughout this run. So it's just kind of, I mean, it's something people really need to figure out why. I don't completely have the answer, but I'm just saying that in the financial market, people aren't that bullish on gold, not in the United States. But when it comes to physical gold, I guess it's a different type of mindset, a different type of buyer. And that's a strange, yeah, I mean, it's something I've never seen before. I would say this too, you know, talking with people, and maybe this is part of the explanation, but it's talking with younger people, let's say under the age of 30, even under the age of 40 now, that have been, you know, gotten in the market through Robinhood or whatever in 2020, I mentioned to many people I know like this that, look, if you want to buy something, you know, that's easy and you just can hold it, you can just make some money, and I think it's going to go up a lot. Buy silver. Buy the silver ETF. You know, mining stock can go up more, but I'm just trying to make things so simple for these people. I just said, buy SLV, and they won't do it. And a lot of times they'll give you the reason they don't think it moves. They just don't think it goes up enough. And that might be what's happening, that, you know, someone is buying physical gold or silver, they're thinking of storing it. They're not thinking of doing a quick trade, where so many of these people, you know, in the United States trading, they only have like this get rich quick mentality, and they've been programmed basically by me, YouTube gurus and so forth, to believe that, you know, gold and silver don't move as fast as crypto. And that's really a false belief, because if you look at it, silver is outperforming the NASDAQ this year to date. And copper is outperforming everything. So people just don't have a real, I don't think, an understanding of how these markets can move when they get going, or they have been moving, you know, when they get going, that are trading in the financial markets. And I guess when you buy physical, you're not, you know, trading financial markets. You're doing something different.
Yes, and of course, crypto, as fast as it can go up, can go down even faster.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing about it is, right now, the past couple months, Bitcoin is actually underperforming the NASDAQ. And over the years, ever since it, you know, it came into being, the Bitcoin trading relationship is that it's closely correlated to the NASDAQ. You know, when the NASDAQ goes up, Bitcoin goes up. So Bitcoin, you know, came alive in December, November, when the NASDAQ turned up after having a correction, and Bitcoin went up to 70,000, just as we were at the early part of this, you know, rally in the stock market. And really, there's broad-based buying and everything, and then Bitcoin benefited from that. And now the rally is sort of losing momentum and steam, and Bitcoin is lagging, which is a big danger sign for it, because if there is a pullback here in the stock market, Bitcoin will fall more. And if there's any pullback, 10% or more, Bitcoin will just crash. Bitcoin always does. So at this moment, I would actually suggest that Bitcoin may be one of the most risky things to actually hold at this moment in time. The stock market rally is narrowing. In this month, the market went up, but almost the entire gain in the market is due to four stocks, NVIDIA, Apple, Google, and Microsoft, and over half the gain in the entire S&P 500 is due to just one of those stocks, and that's NVIDIA. So it's a very dangerous, you know, narrowing of the market rally. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going into immediate bear market, but and things may hold in there for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, but it's not a healthy situation to say the least. And that makes the crypto extremely risky. And we've seen this week the treasury bond market ticked down as yields went up on the 10-year a little bit. There's been a weak demand for treasury bonds in a recent sale this week because there's too many bonds. We're now being flooded with treasury bonds due to the growing government deficit, and it's made the yield tick up, which hurts the stock market. This is what the story was. The stock market was declining last fall from September or from August to November, and it just happened a couple of days, and I don't think it's going to start to decline immediately, but you know, the important thing is that when the market did begin to rally last year, it did it because the Fed pivoted, started talking about lowering interest rates at some point this year, which it hasn't been able to do. But that Fed pivot is what sparked the rally, not Bitcoin, you know, some Bitcoin revolution, or even this AI or NVIDIA meme that is all the talk right now, but it was the Fed pivot, and it just spurred mass buying. That's what started the rally. We've all, I believe, forgotten that recently because it's just not being talked about. And now I think we're in a situation where, you know, the Fed's not able to lower rates because inflation didn't go away like they were predicting it would. It's another failed prediction on the part of the Fed. And I think we're kind of in a limbo in the stock market. The good news, though, for gold and silver is that when the stock market had a dip in April, gold and silver went up. They didn't follow the stock market. So gold and silver is a real, you know, the correlation between them and stocks is kind of, the U.S. stock market's kind of breaking away, and it's coming into life on its own, which is very, very bullish for it, too.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, do you think the Fed will be able to wrestle inflation down below 3% so they can start cutting rates, or will we see reduced rates at all this year?
Well, I looked this morning, and the Fed Fund futures are now suggesting a possible rate cut in December. So the odds are really diminishing that they're going to be able to do anything. You know, my takeaway, though, is I think the odds are low that they're going to be able to lower rates. I was always kind of skeptical that inflation was going to go below 3%. If they do cut rates, I would say at this point, because the stock market is dropping and there's signs of a recession, which hasn't happened yet. You know, at this point, I don't think they're probably going to do it. The thing, though, about that is, you know, no one can predict the future. And every day or week that goes by in the market, in the economy for that matter, you do learn more and your views can change and shift. And one of the takeaways earlier this year that I had was that interest rates at 5%, you know, I thought 2 years ago that would mean we'd have a recession, and the recession never happened. And interest rates at 5%, therefore, aren't really restrictive on the economy or the stock market. The stock market, you know, has not been devastated by 5% interest rates. And what that means is that it's very still expansionary and dovish, and that's why the inflation hasn't gone away. So I would argue that I think the Fed doesn't need to lower rates to keep the stock market from going into a bear market I don't think the interest rates really matter that much for the stock market. That, in fact, if a recession does come, it'll just happen on its own, or because of the problem with funding the debt and interest rates actually going up out of control because of that. I'm not trying to suggest it's going to start now, but it could happen in the next couple of years. So I think that's the real danger that really faces the system in the next couple of years.
What's going on with crude?
Well, it looks to me like crude's kind of in a trading range, which is fine. It had its dip and then it's come back, but it's not, really doing that much. But we're seeing strength in the energy stocks. So they even made new highs over the past couple months. So I'm not really expecting crude to do that much in the short run. But it's my view that what we've seen this year with precious metals and gold is part of an overall bullish commodity sector, which oil, of course, is a part of. And historically, in a commodity bull market, what happens is gold goes up first, and then other precious metals, such as copper, lead, zinc, and so forth, go up. And then soft commodities start bull markets, agriculture, and so forth. And energy typically is the last major commodity to really go up. The new highs and just go keep going. And it can take a couple of years to get to that point in a long-term bull market in commodities. So you think back to the 2000s, gold started a bull market in 2002 when it went above $300 an ounce. But in energy, it lagged until the next year, and then it started to go up. But people didn't really notice or complain, or it wasn't a real big topic, higher energy prices, to 2008 when oil went over $100. And 6 years later, I kind of think it's down the road that we're going to really see oil, at a high enough price where it's something that's really a big topic, except for people, who already are invested in it and doing well. I think that oil stocks will be fine.
The meme stocks, again, another short little burst. Are they going to explode and fade away quickly?
I think it was just a short burst. And that's also a sign that I think that the rally that we had in the market that started last year kind of has gone into limbo, because when there's only like the NVIDIA and then three other stocks doing all the work inside the S&P 500, that means people aren't really doing much. They're not really trading other stocks. And when you get into a market like that, where the valuations are super high, and people have a hard time finding stocks to play. And I think that's the explanation for why GameStop and those meme stocks came to life. It's that there's a lot of people that want to trade something. They're desperate to gamble even. And there just aren't many things to play, and those were like the last things to play. So they played them. And most people, again, some people made money, no doubt, but for whatever reason, they're still holding their stocks, or they knew somehow that there's going to be some mean tweets about them, and they knew to get in. But most people bought into the run-up, after the run-up, they're buying when it's all the news, or buy it the next day, and they got their head handed to them. But they wanted a gamble. They wanted something to play. And I don't know what, I think that's the only reason they went up. And I don't know what the next mean thing is going to be. It just looks like at the moment we're in limbo with the broad stock market. Maybe things will be different the next time we talk in a couple of weeks. But it just doesn't look like a time to be gambling to me.
Mike, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on, perhaps foreign markets either picking up or declining?
Well, I would say one market I am watching closely is the Chinese stock market, because it had a bear market for 2 years, it appears to have bottomed out several months ago and about to go through its 200-day moving average, and it's now pausing. So, if it can break out again, I would think that is confirmation. It's actually shifted into a new bull market, which would be significant because it doesn't mean people got to buy it or something, but it's meaningful because if the Chinese stock market goes up into a bull market, that's going to be a sign their economy is going to grow, and they're the biggest economy in the world at this point, and that's going to increase the demand for commodities and energy eventually and so forth. So that's what I got my eye on this month, I guess, or the next couple of weeks to see if that happens.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for anyone on our shows, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.